Our scripture lesson this morning, as we come to the end of the book of Ephesians, is contained in verses 21 through 24, a rather short scripture reading, but filled with challenge for God's people. Hear now the reading of the word. "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And then the final word is amen. So we come to the end of the book of Ephesians. It will be published later on, but right now, as we turn our hearts to the Lord, let's pray sincerely that God will help us to understand what he wants us to understand, and that we will be what he wants us to be. So pray for me as I preach, and I'll pray for you as you listen and then live it out. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give us ears to hear and hearts to obey and lives that reflect the image of Jesus Christ in our daily walk. And we pray in his name. Amen. The book of Ephesians is the story of the grace of God. In the first chapter, we discover the foundation of grace, which is God's electing love for us. In the second chapter, we find the need of grace and God's wonderful provision, for whereby we who were dead in sin have now become alive again. In chapter 3, we find that the amazing outreach of grace is worldwide, and it includes all of those of different races or nationalities, and we also hear the apostle praying for the whole church. Now, in verses 4, 5, and 6, we learn the application of grace to our daily walk in our relationship to the Lord and in our relationship to each other and to the whole body of believers. We are told that grace enables us to put off the old man and to put on the new in all of our relationships, especially in marriage and the family. Also in chapter 6, we are exhorted to put on the whole armor of God, because we're going up against an enemy too strong and too clever for us to fight in our own strength. Therefore, I think it is very fitting that this book should focus in the end on one person, because that's what God wants you to hear. You're the person that the Holy Spirit inspired these words for, and so listen to it as if it were God speaking to you directly, because ideally that's what he's doing. But you have to listen and you have to obey. I spent many hours working on this message, and most of those hours were learning how to pronounce this guy's name, Tychicus. Not being Greek myself, I had some difficulty with that, but as far as I can tell from the authorities, that this is how you say his name. I guess maybe they had a nickname for him, maybe Ty or Tick or something like that. But I have been so blessed in the ministry by knowing people whose description of Tychicus fits them pretty much to perfection. We read about him just briefly in the book of Acts, that he went with Paul when he was returning back to Jerusalem from his missionary journeys, and Tychicus' job was to make sure that Paul and his offering got there safely to Jerusalem. And I would think that he must have been a pretty sturdy young man to that would scare off anybody that had the idea, let's get that offering for ourselves. Right away, we find out that he was a trustworthy man, and he was somebody you could depend on, even with money. And that may be a rare thing for many people. So we have this description in this book, in these last few words, of the kind of man he was. And the only reason I'm telling you that is so you can be challenged to be the same kind of person that he was, whether male or female. And so often when that term is used, it is referring to both male and female. When I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. But then Tychicus keeps coming up in many of the letters that Paul wrote home about. And yes, it is kind of a short mention of his name, but how often is your name mentioned in the Bible? If you kind of discount the importance of Tychicus, then you'll have to discount your own importance, because here is a typical example of what a Christian ought to be. And so Paul refers to him, first of all, as a beloved brother in Ephesus. And he reassured the church in Ephesus by telling them he was sending Tychicus back in person so they would know how he's getting along in prison. So he was called Paul's beloved brother. And that would apply to women as well as men. And that's the way that noun is used in this case. And certainly, this is an enviable title for anyone to have, a beloved brother or sister in the Lord. Now, you have many friends, but how many of them do you count dear to your heart? And how many of them have you been blessed by? Let me tell you about a man that I was a ruling elder that I knew up in Greenville years ago when we were trying to put together the outline of the PCA itself. George was his name. George Cumbus was his name. And George was one of the elders in the church. But George took great delight in coming to me and telling me, when you go to Presbytery this week, I'm there with you in prayer and in person. George was always there to encourage me and to pray for me. Afterwards, when that battle was won and I went on to serve in other places, George was still in touch with me, reminding me that he was praying for me. And when I was pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Macon, Georgia, his daughter called me to say, George is dying, but he wants to see you one more time before he dies because he has something he wants to tell you. So I went up the next day, and I arrived at his home because he was home from the hospital in the nursing home, and he was lying in his own bed, which is a good place in which to die. George and I had been in the battles together to form the PCA, and so we talked like two old veterans who had been in combat together, because it was combat back in those days, and George always stood with me and stood behind me. I remember him telling the elders in Second Presbyterian Church that you sit here and talk about it, but Gordon goes to the presbytery and fights your battles for you. And so his daughter asked me to come and sit by his side for a few minutes. I thought it a very short trip all the way from Macon, Georgia, up to Greenville, South Carolina. And we talked and shared together. But then George took my hand and he said, "There's something I want to tell you." And I said, "Well, George, here I am." And he said, "I want to tell you that you've been a father to me." And he was close to 40 years older than I was, because he was in his early 90s when he died. Here was George's words to me. "You've been a father and a son and a brother and a friend and a pastor. And I just wanted to tell you this, that you would be reminded how I stuck with you through thick and thin." And I said, "George, I appreciate the words, but I didn't need any reminding because you're in my heart continually." But when George said that, he also added, "Now there's one more favor I want from you." And I said, "George, I'll do anything you ask me to do." And he said, "Well, if my pastor will let you come and preach my funeral, will you do that for me?" And he kind of grinned and smiled, and I knew his pastor, who was a personal friend of mine, would let me do that. And I still remember George lying there in his weakened condition, but his heart was strong, his friendship was real, and he was such a blessing to me. Next to hearing Jesus say, "Well done," I think that the words of praise from a man like George Cumbus was something that I will have in my heart for all eternity. And he was Paul's beloved friend. Let me ask you this. Does anyone in this world count you as a special beloved friend? Have you reached out to people and made efforts to build friendships with people? That is ideally what the church is all about. It's not about taking sides. It's not about thinking your own thoughts and doing your own thing. It's coming together as beloved brothers and sisters. And certainly, it's been my privilege to be with you these years and to receive from you the blessing that Tychicus was to Paul. But Paul also said that he was a trustworthy messenger. I love that combination, trustworthy messenger. Are you? Am I? A trustworthy messenger to convey the will of God and the love of God to your beloved friends? Certainly, in this world, we are privileged to know but a few people. But get in practice, because in heaven you will know everyone, because you've got unlimited time and eternity to get to know everyone. And I would challenge you to be somebody's special friend, a friend that they can always count on, and a trustworthy messenger. Tychicus was the man to travel around and to the different churches as Paul's personal ambassador. He had been faithful over a few things. Now Paul was appointing him as faithful over many things. And the challenge is yours even more than it was belonged to Tychicus, because Jesus Christ has called you not only to salvation, but to be a faithful, trustworthy messenger of his. And maybe there are times when you need to speak up, and there are times when you need to be quiet and hear and listen. And I'll never forget a brother in the gospel who challenged me, "When you go into a room of sorrow, don't feel like you have to preach a sermon. Just be there and offer a hug and a word of encouragement. Well, Paul knew he could trust Tychicus to carry these letters to the church, and being a trustworthy man and making sure all that Paul wanted them to know about his affairs, they would know through Tychicus. And he also knew that being a fellow messenger and a faithful minister, that he would bring strength to the church, even as Paul had done in the past. And I want you to forget the special relationship that Tychicus had with Paul, because they've both been in heaven for a long, long time. But I want you to think in terms of, are you a faithful messenger for Jesus Christ? And does it come from a heart of love? Love for him and love for each other. But also Paul referred to him as a willing servant. Now that is kind of rare even in the church, because we like to say, well, I'm gifted, and during this time when we're nominating elders and deacons, we have to be very careful who we nominate. And remember, the instruction is you have to get their permission first. And you may have to work on that a little bit, because a person who is humble in heart and walks with the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't especially want to be out front. He wants to be bringing up the rear and collecting everybody together in one single body. But Tychicus could have been busy. I mean, he was a gifted man, he was a trusted man, and he could have been building his own ministry, but he was rather serve this man of God. And so he laid aside all personal ambition and took upon himself the assignment of being a willing servant to the Apostle Paul. But Paul also refers to him as a comforting presence. Have you ever known a person whose presence and demeanor was a comfort and a consolation to you? Years ago in a church I was serving, there was an especially a tragic death in that church. And as I was trying to fill the gap until the rest of the congregation, or many of them, could get there, I saw a lady walking in who was a member of our church, and she had a steaming big bowl of soup. And it touched the hearts of the people. Oh, here's Lillian. You'd expect her to be there. And she was. And she always brought a gift to remind the people of her special love for them. And so she did. And if God has given you the gift of kindness, use it often. There are so many fellow Christians who need a comforting presence, and who need to hear from you that you really care for them. And then finally, Tychicus was a living benediction. Paul's concluding words were, "Peace be to the brothers, and love and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And so he sent this message by a man who was a living benediction, just a blessing. The presence of God went with Tychicus and goes with you from day to day, especially as you look for people to serve, and as you offer a smile and a hug, handshake, or whatever it may be, expression of true love for them. And so you can be a living benediction. That lady that walked in that I was talking about with the big bowl of soup, it wasn't the soup that registered so much, was She was always the first one there, and that she was always bringing a gift to let people know. And so she was also a living benediction, because when Lillian walked in, you knew it was with a heart of love and kindness and sympathy. And so God's gifts of grace are marvelous, as hopefully we've seen in this book of Ephesians. They are to be received by grace, shared by love, and that his benediction might rest upon everyone that you come in contact with. If that's a big order. There are people I don't like. Well, yeah, there are people you don't like, but learn to love them anyway, and to show that you are a living benediction. When you walk into a room, even in this place or somebody's home, that God walks with you and God is guiding you and empowering you. Add Tychicus to that Hall of Fame list, walking in the pathway that Jesus Christ walked. And if you will be a current Tychicus, whether you're male or female, God will use that to grow our church and to bind our church together in a common cause to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world, and to be let this church become known as a church like Tychicus that really cares and really loves and really serves servant and a comforting presence. And so God will be glorified, and you will be blessed beyond any knowledge that you now have if you'll just come out of yourself and reach out with love, kindness, and friendship to this whole congregation. You will be the one who will receive the blessing as well as others. So I want you to know that each one of you are very dear to my heart. And certainly I go before the Lord constantly and say, thank you. And I go down the roll and I take in each individual and thank the Lord for you, each one, because you've been such a blessing in my life and certainly in the lives of many people. So keep on being New Harmony Presbyterian. Iron out the wrinkles and fill out the low places, and learn to be a Tychicus in your generation, whether that's your name or not. So let's pray that God will use this message to bring glory and praise to him and comfort to his people. Father, thank you for this man of old that we will meet one day. Thank you for his record of kindness and helpfulness to your people. And I pray that we may walk in his blessed footsteps, even as he walked in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And I pray in his name.